You're Richard Casey.
That's right, yeah.
Have you been born and raised in Ballyduff?
In Ballyduff, yeah. Been down at Olive first, and then down here then since 1958. My mum came out of here. Like, my mum was lynched, so I live here now, yeah. And I got married in 1966, Helen Prendergast, and we had 5 girls and 3 boys. And at the moment now we're expecting our 20th grandchild, please God, sometime this month.
Like, your 20th grandchild?
Yeah, God bless him, yeah. From 27 down to a new one coming up, please God, like to know.
So, very good.
So you often hear the people say that how happy Larry I am, like.
You have a big lovely smile on your face, yeah. And even when I opened or knocked at the door, you're all welcoming.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself. Tell us about your life.
I was born in Glenolive, and I have one sister, Mary Hanif, and she lives in Lord Cannon in Tralee, like, and like I said, I got married in 66, and I was working in Talbot Island for 2 years, and I was working in the ball bearing factory in Tralee for 2 years, and then I was what they call a small farmer, 5'9", like. And I was working in Easton, like, and we're trying to subsidize our income, like, you know, and to give our children going to college, and then I used to be sitting potatoes and going to Tralee and this all with potatoes, like, and all that, like, trying to keep them going to college. Mm-hmm. And you know, we, like I said, we were always happy, we were always counting pennies, but we were always happy, like, you know, just able to keep going. And our children, please God, like, there's three of our children live in Dublin, John and Blarnet and Anne, and Aquinas lives in Douar, and Ida lives in Ballymacilligate, where Helen was born, and Claude is next door, and Denny off the road, like, Denny's the farmer and works as well, like. Mm-hmm. And Rainer then lives down in Cox, she's our youngest, our baby, like, you know.
Oh, yes.
My Tutsi, as I call her. And yeah, I love history, like, that's for something that I was always interested in, family history, the names of people, like, and I could tell you nearly every ancestor of anyone around Ballyduff, generally. Like, if I went to the pub now, they'd say, Casey, we have a question for you. So, there's no one in it, though.
But there's a bit of knowledge and wisdom with it.
Yeah, I suppose,
Not everyone has that.
Yeah, and well, yeah, sure. I mean, everyone everyone is proud of their ancestry. Like, in people walk what he had. Like, I see my uncle here now. One time, the land here was all drained by hand. You know, about 12 to 14 acres at the top of this land here. That dug it with pick and shovel, drew the stones from the Kilmore stand here. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And manually drained it, and there were no plastic pipes or anything that time.
They
put on a stone at the side and another flash stone on top of it, like, that's what they used to do, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the springtime, then they'd be down the seaweed to fertilize the land and to set potatoes with the, you know, that were the, mm-hmm. the side of food.
So you sold potatoes, was it?
Yeah.
How did you find out as a business?
Well, it was, it was hard work, like, because they have harvests today for digging potatoes, but it was a spinner digger that time, and they were all picked manually, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have less picking through than they'd be telling you how more bags picked than they had, like.
All handwork, though.
Handwork, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather used to set potatoes years ago. He's gone now, but it was, he'd put the shovel in, you'd have to put the spud in underneath the shovel, and it had to all be done a certain way.
A spade, and you do that, and you put potato into the back of the spade, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a few ridges of potatoes set myself. I'll say that now, everyone is set as well, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something lovely about the earth, whatever it is, and a person and the earth, like, when you're digging, like, it has a very calming effect on people, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pure peace.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, whatever it is. And happiness is, I always say, you can be happy with very little. And Onassis, one time, he had the wealth of the world, and his son was killed in a plane crash. And he said he thought he could buy everything until that day. Like, so, I mean, everyone should be happy with that a lot. Like, you know, no matter what you have, be happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I seen my own dad one time, got upset once he had enough of tobacco to fill his pipe. And, you know, he was happy in the book where he had, like, in himself and my mum.
Yeah, and I suppose with today's society and everything that is going on with Ukraine, you realise how much imports that we are actually relying on as well. And I suppose supporting local now and whatnot, making your own, is important.
Well, it is. Actually, my wife wrote a little one time, I don't know what it is today, about Ballyduff, like. And actually, Ballyduff is a great village. I mean, we have two big Ross's, and she has two big supermarkets. We own the car, you're talking about that now. We have Condon's and Mike Flanagan's food places. Like, we have a restaurant above in Lowe's, like, another restaurant above in Buzz, the central up top of the street, like. And there's garage in Ballyduff. Everything you want to get really is in Ballyduff, except maybe clothes. Like, that's the only thing that. And we had them one time as well, but, you know, time moves on, like, you know.
Yeah, I heard there was nearly 20 shops in Ballyduff at one stage.
There was. I counted them out there for only Canada one day last week. Like, we started above the top of the street for Buds's now. That was only Canada's, is it her great grandmother or grandmother, like. And we had Gardens next door to it, gone now as well. She is still there. Lowe's bar now today, that was McDonald's, and that was a bar and a shop as well. Mm-hmm. Welsh's had a bar and a shop, Welsh's is still there. You come down then to Mossy Neelands, it is not in there any longer, that was a shop as well. There was a shop in Box, there was a shop in McAllister's. What it was called, Nolly Lynch's, was a shop. We had a butcher shop in Supples. We come to the creamery, and that was a big store in the creamery, was selling all kinds of everything, like bacon, every single thing we could think of. We had carny shop then, like, mm-hmm. and down at the end of the street, we had Mr. Lee's in the drapery shop, closed now as well. We had what they call that time, Mossy Pindy's shop. And then we cross the street, we go down the road down to the garage today, and Cattle's garage. That was Miss Brashton's big shop that time in Ballyduff, and the house at the corner, and the Hennessy's today, at a Dalton's today. That was John McCarthy's shop. Mm-hmm. Strayburn's up in the counter. That was no, if you call flies in your trouble about flies in the thing. And up the street into Master O'Brien's that time, to Brendan O'Neill's after shop, and to Condon's now. Will Jordan opened the big shop as well, Will Jordan's drapery and everything, grocery shop as well. We had Hennessy's butchers then at that side of the street as well. And we had O'Connor's then, he was a chemist as well, and, you know, selling remedies for animals and all that time, like. And we had Mike Quilter had a shop that side of the street. The post office at that time actually had a shop as well, grocery. Wow. And that up further, and we had Brendan O'Kell, he had a shop, like. And at one stage, actually, in Ballyduff, we had about four petrol stations. We have no one now.
Jeez.
Yeah, there was one at Carney's, one at the Creamery, Tams O'Kell's. Bolin's garage is gone as well now, like, and we had actually one of the post offices one time as well.
Like, wow, what happened to them all?
Yeah, sure. To know the, how would I say, that sure to the same with the farmers, you'd say if it happened to the farmers, like.
Mm.
So when I was young, there were 350 to 400 coming to Ballyduff Creamery.
Wow.
Yeah, with donkeys and cows and horses and cows, like, you know.
Yeah.
And if everyone the money bought a box of matches in Ballyduff that day, like, you know, to business, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And farming, like, the farmers were the creamery was the main point in Ballyduff that time, like. And even one told me one time, no, his wife was sick, and, you know, he was being bad farm, like, and his wife was in Edinburgh, actually. And he said he'd come to the creamery with his head down between his legs, and he'd be talking at the creamery, and he said he'd go home a different man, you know, because of
just being able to socialise.
He'd socialise, and, like, you know, and that's gone as well now, like, the creamery, like, and, you know, there was no one will laugh, but everyone read their family, and I think the people, when they were distributed around the countryside as well, the children will read independently as well, which is important, I believe myself, like, you know, mm-hmm. So
they see how the future is as well, like, and this is what you should do.
Yeah, And of course, in my time, there was a lot of people immigrated as well. The big, big amount of people I went to school with immigrated. Someone went to England uneducated, you could say. And when you see them people coming home here, and, you know, they reared their families in England, and some of them came back here and were able to build houses and all that. They deserve great credit, I believe, myself, because sometimes when we were young, it was a case of who you knew, like who you were, like, and you know, they would be suitable for this and that, and it wouldn't put it up here at all. It was who you knew, like, you know. Yeah. But that's gone to some bit of a degree, and you know, like,
some bit of degree is right. Where would you be off now if you're going into Belly Duff for a few?
I don't drink at all, actually.
Okay.
I drank for 2 years when I was 19 to 21, like, and I met my missus when I was 21. And she told me, I asked her to marry me, and I said, if I asked another woman, I'd be in awful trouble with her. So I gave up the drink. I took the pledge when I was, I think, about 21 or something like that.
Wow.
And we actually lived in Tralee as well one time for a year, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I moved house so many times, like, you know, that is. But, you know, I know, my family, some of my family before me had problems with drink, and I prefer to put something up on my own table than to be, my children were educated. Anyone who wanted to go to college, they went to college, and if you, don't know, if I was now drinking, I wouldn't be able to do that, I believe myself. And we had great happiness, I believe myself, like, I have a golden pioneer pin, like, and I'm very proud of it, like, you know. Some people might be giving me knocks about it, but you know, I think that I might be big in the latter fellow, they'd be laughing at me, like,
you know. You would be right, and whatever is right for you is important. Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, you live it yourself.
When I was young, we were raised by two men alongside us, Timmy Dunn and John Dunn, like, you know. And, you know, we got great examples at home as well, but them two men, Father Pat as well, lot of us, and give us great example, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Father Pat, when his father died when he was on his 20th birthday, and He had 40 cows and everything that time, like, that's a long time ago. And he went to Edinburgh, and he got TB and went to Edinburgh, and he said he was thinking of becoming a priest for 7 years, and he thought he couldn't be done without. But he was actually ordained when he was 31. Wow. And he went out to New Orleans, and he done great work in America. Like, he built a new church inside in a sugarcane field. And they were all laughing at him, and he had 5 masses, and he was drawing so many people to his masses, they cut him back to 4, like, you know.
Yeah.
He was very popular, like, you know, he was non-judgmental of anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of man he was, like, he was non-judgmental, like, and he could come out of the world too as well, that he wouldn't be putting in.
And he was a good friend of yours?
Well, we were like brothers always, we were like that. He was our best man the day we got married, like, you know.
Aww.
He was, yeah, he was. And I say he got such a fright that day that he changed his thinking altogether.
And how do you feel when he passed away?
Well, we were very sad after his life. We were very sad, like, you know. I went up to serve your words the day he died in the church, like, you know. And he was in the nursing home for a bit. He had such bad, so many things happened to him. He had a bypass. And within 12 months of the bypass, he got male breast cancer.
Oh, no.
And how many more? He got Parkinson's, then, like, and you could say, you know, with any God, or you could say, like, you know what I mean? Like, but mm-hmm. God, he was a lovely man. He was, you know, he was such a good, he was come home then every July, and when he come home, then we'd be looking forward, and we'd go to Ballybun. We had no car about 20 years ago. And we got to Ballybun and then along with him, and he said we'd be going to Ballybun. There's a buzz in Ballybun tonight. And there were people in Ballybun and then the list all are the Dublin Singers, we used to call them, like. And there was a, started off about 56 years ago now, and everyone that in the turn of the table would sing. Like, you know, Helen was the only one out the old table that is sing, like, you know, she was going mad. She was always, her party piece was the Rose of Tralee, like, you know.
Yeah.
And, but we used to look forward to that every year. And, you know, there was great camaraderie between everyone. They kept, there was people from Wales and from Cork and Limerick and everything, every place, like. And, you know, we used to look forward to that, like, and we used to love music, Helen and myself. We used to go to Finugan awful lot there one time as well, to the pub in Finugan. And it wasn't the dancing either, it was the community, like, you know, the way everyone was welcoming everyone, like, you know, even Mary McCarthy today, she has a beer garden up there as well, like, we've got prizes and everything, like, but it must come from within the people themselves, like, you know, the people who, that said they didn't enjoy themselves at all. People can't make enjoyment for you, you must make it yourself, it must come from yourself, like, you know.